So I got the expedition doctor to come over and have a look. What's that? Oh, it's a brown recluse. Is it bad?
Yeah, really bad.
Hello, welcome back to the Auto Alex podcast. You join Rory Mackay and I on the sofa of dreams.
Yeah, Taylor couldn't be bothered to turn up today.
He couldn't actually be bothered.
No.
I think he's still in bed.
Yeah, I think it's something about eating too much last night at all.
I don't know what
that was on about.
With some little fella or something.
Something weird was going on.
Apparently,
he was really versatile with it.
Versatile. There goes that word. Anyway, let's move this on very, very quickly. We were supposed to have another guest, weren't we?
We were, yeah. Speaking of which,
yeah.
Did that guest ever get back to you at all? Or?
Yeah. So if you're wondering what was going on last week, I phoned up my very, very dear friend, Chris Harris, and he didn't pick up the phone.
Yep.
But then he messaged me to say, I'll call you back.
Okay. And did he?
Oh, yeah. We had such a long old chat. It was about stuff and
stuff.
Yeah. We just caught up. We caught up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What about in particular?
Oh, just, you know, stuff and things, you know, just
he didn't
like
call
what,
you, did he?
No.
Okay.
No, he didn't call me.
Brilliant.
No. So, I did say to Rory this morning, maybe I should phone him up again, but you were like, no, let's not do it. Shall we do it next week?
Maybe leave it as like a bi-weekly thing or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, he might block your number.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that
if
doesn't matter.
If he hasn't change. Already.
Probably, yeah. I'm not even going to bother looking. anyway, we are in the unit. We're not in Big Pete or doing anything super, super fun. But we did have a very super fun segment that we recorded on the weekend.
Yes. And shall we say what that was? Yeah, well, I guess you can know by the title. So yeah, we've interviewed Richard Hammond for the podcast.
He was insistent. He said, guys, I want to be on the UK's number one automotive podcast.
I don't think he believed us really that we are the number one automotive. But we are.
But. We are.
We are. I think probably we'll do a bit of rambling on about the intro and stuff like that, and then we'll cut about halfway into this podcast to our chat with Richard Hammond.
Yeah. So this will be a shorter podcast, unfortunately, unless you, Rory, and I can think of like fun stuff to talk about.
No, without Taylor's rambling on skills, I'm not sure we'll be all right.
We can do it. We got this.
Okay.
Before we cut to the interview with Richard Hammond, Rory, what have you been up to recently?
What have I been up to? I have been still trying to fix the endless problems on my £1,500 X5.
Just sell it. Seriously, everyone's bored.
No, I'm trying to fix the thing. And
what's the thing now?
So, obviously, it started pissing out with coolant.
Yeah.
Which I was on the weekend and Joshy managed to... I'm staring at the part now in my hand.
Describe the part.
The part is... It's very black. It's long. It's cylindrical shape. And
what are you describing?
Oh, sorry. The thing that's in my hand.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
I think it is the EGR cooler thermostat.
Oh.
And basically what's happened is the end of it had blown off, which, bearing in mind, it is a solid piece of plastic. That is quite impressive.
Let me touch it.
Yeah, you can touch. Oh, God. Oh. Yeah, you touch that. Oh.
That's me putting it in my mouth. That is, ow, that's, that's.
Yeah, it's quite impressive that it's managed to develop a hole.
Have you blown a hole through that, Rory?
I don't know. So anyway, coolant was, but that was a good thing because I thought it was the radiator, which would have been quite expensive,
or
a water pump or something like that. Mm. This was right at the top of the engine and it was on the front. It's really easy to access. And Josh did a bodge fix on it for me, which was a good bodge fix.
Yeah.
So he drilled a hole to make the hole bigger and then threaded it with, which I didn't realize we had a threading sort of kit. Yeah. So then he stuck a bolt in the end and then we stuck a load of silicone around it.
Oh, that is a proper bodge.
That is a proper bodge.
But as per Jushi, Josh, make good the bodge.
Make good the bodge. Yeah. So he'd make good the bodge. So we've ordered the part. And believe it or not, I've been driving around that 3 days, not leaked a single bit of coolant with Josh's bodge on
it. Well, then why bother replacing
it? I might leave it for a year and see what happens.
Yeah, it's an experiment.
And then what else happened? Oh, yeah, and then we were trying to fix stuff on my E46. And annoyingly, Eurocarparts has let me down.
Oh, this was a funny story.
And this was not a funny story.
It was very funny.
This was not a funny story.
Well, I remember laughing about it.
Yeah, yeah, because you're...
What?
Yeah. Shut up.
You shut up.
You shut up. So I ordered the two front shocks for my E46 because we're going to do them. And then I've got H&R lowering springs to go on. So Josh took all my front shock off and then basically got the box out, opened up the box. And then Eurocarparts have given me the box was all marked correctly with their part numbers and everything, but the actual item inside was for an M3, not just an E46 Touring. So we had to end up putting the car back together.
Oh.
The second part of the letdown was the fact that I ordered a really nice hydraulic spring compressor machine.
Yeah. Well, not one of those gunny things?
No, not one of the kill yourself machines.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. It was like a proper one. You put the strut in and it's got like a hydraulic press. 4.5 ton hydraulic press. Oh, no, good.
That would even hold Taylor's weight. No, maybe not.
So that was meant to arrive on that day. So we took it all apart, expecting it to arrive. Anyway, I got the notification through going, item has been delivered through your letterbox.
How big is your letterbox?
It's quite surprising, that, isn't it? So Hermes, or Every, whatever crap they want to call themselves, they're still shit.
Meow.
Delivered the parcel. And I look at proof of delivery, and it's in some sort of like drinks warehouse where there's loads of cans of stuff. There's a little trolley for some drinks to go on. I've had a look. Nothing in our industrial park, all the ones next to us, have any drinks related things.
So you have no idea?
I have no idea where it is.
And you've contacted them?
So you want to contact them. How much do you think per minute, Every charge for a phone number?
Well, it's got to be free because it's usually their cock-up.
So yeah. £6.
A minute?
A minute.
For what?
£6 a minute.
Does that mean that they could get everything resolved in less than a minute?
No, it means that you'll probably end up paying the price of the item that you're phoning to try and resolve.
So did you actually stay on the line?
No, I hung up straight away and I was like, I'm not paying fucking £6 for a minute.
Oh.
So anyway, I've gone through the online chat system, which is a robot, and they keep saying they'll phone me back. It's been 4 days now. I haven't heard anything from them.
And how much was this spring compressor?
It was £110.
So if you were trying to compress springs, but you didn't have a spring compressor, how did you do that?
So we obviously had to put the E46 back together to get it off the ramp.
Yeah.
Can't just leave it on the ramp.
Yeah.
So the only way me and Joshy thought of doing it was using the ramp itself.
This sounds sketchy.
Yeah, this was very sketchy. Josh kept saying that he didn't want to die.
Okay.
Yeah. So we've got the shock upright, and then we're using the arm of the ramp with a arch roller sort of arm
stuck
into the side of the ramp, so then you can then place it over the top of the spring compressor, and then we've got a ratchet strap holding it in place.
How are you holding the bottom of the strut securely on the ground?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Is there now an indentation on the floor?
No, we used a bit of rubber.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, so you did actually think ahead.
Yeah, I put a bit of rubber underneath because I was like, maybe this might make it slip less.
Yeah.
And
it did.
We did it.
Oh, well done.
And then we didn't do the other side because we were like, that's sketchy.
Yeah.
And also I was missing the shock, which actually the side that we did put back together was the side that we were missing the shock for.
Crying out
so much. I now have a lowering spring on one side on an old shock. So I need to take that side back apart again.
So what happened if I went outside and just got in your car and just drove it?
So the other thing is, you know, what is the clamp at the bottom that holds the strut in place?
What, where you put the bolt through?
Yeah, like it's the bolt through and then it clamps on the bottom of the shock. It's like a buckle sort of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. But it's like that. It's the buckle that holds around the bottom of a shock. Anyway, it's really notorious in E46s to get stuck. Mine got stuck.
Oh, you mean on the front?
Yeah.
The pinch bolt.
So mine's stuck.
Oh, no.
Josh thinks he might be able to get it back in, but he thinks that once it's back in, it won't come back out again. So at the moment, it's all undone.
Oh,
so
shit.
The car is just resting on its suspension.
Okay.
So great day, really. Really productive. Got everything done. And everything actually still is broken.
But that's all right, because you've obviously got your X5, so you don't need to rely on the E46 to get about, do you?
Yeah, so...
I'm teeing them up here for failure, everybody.
I think I did say, Taylor got me a nice set of wheels off his old X5.
Yeah.
So I've put them on, because
nice.
the wheels were on my car were also completely in tatters. The tyres had... Someone looked like they'd run them off every single curb you possibly could, and there were gouges out of all the tyres, everything. So I put Taylor's on. Anyway, there was a bit of vibration going on. One of the rear tyres lost a bit of air. And I was like, oh, God, this doesn't feel good. So I took it to our tyre guy, Glenn.
Yeah, big up Glenn.
Glenn's looked at it and he's taken the wheel off and shown me that there's probably on the inner side of the rear tyres, there's a good 10 bulges on each tyre.
Oh, no.
Where it looks like it's been overpressured for quite a long time.
By Taylor?
He does notoriously like to run his tyre pressures high. We do know this.
Yeah, we do know
this. And then the fronts, what was the front? Oh, the fronts have got 2 millimeter gouges down to the cords.
Yeah, you can see the cords. Yeah.
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 So
how are you getting home tonight?
Well, I've already thought about that.
Are you going to buy a car?
No, I'm waiting for a message.
You're going to get an Uber?
I'm waiting for a message.
Are you waiting for a mate?
No, you're like my message of who I've messaged.
Oh my God. Tom Lenthal. Oh no. Hey Tom, what state is Big Pete in? Oh, for crying out loud. But you're not allowed to use Big Pete for personal expenses. No, that's wear and tear.
Because it's work, because I'm coming back here tomorrow morning.
No, it's wear and tear.
Oh, well, I won't come back here tomorrow morning. Then.
Fine, you're fired. You said it yourself. You've literally handed in your resignation.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah.
What have you been up to anyway?
What have I been
up to? That was my unsuccessful weekend.
Yeah, no, I do like an unsuccessful weekend. When was it? What are we today? We're Tuesday. So you're listening to this tomorrow, which is Wednesday. So today's yesterday. It's complicated.
And we filmed the previous part a few days ago.
Oh, we did.
This
yeah.
is to make it even more confusing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this is hurting my head. But last week after a shoot, I went and did a podcast with a young, really successful guy called Benedict Fowler. He's got a podcast called The Road to Success.
Mm. See, I listened to this podcast and... Oh, Alex is looking at me very grimacingly here. I think everyone should listen to this podcast. Like, everyone should listen to it. Because he went on for a good... It was almost like 5 minutes of just saying how much he loves me.
Really?
Yeah, yeah,
really?
Yeah, yeah.
I think you've been listening to a different podcast.
No. There was a good 5-minute section, which Alex told me to turn off or in that podcast, but I didn't.
I told you. I listened anyway.
And you know what?
What?
You love me.
Shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth.
You see. So yeah, I did a podcast with Benedict in his. He's got a podcast van, which is really cool.
Should we get a podcast van?
No, we can't afford it.
Okay.
His is like a decked out crafter. I mean, a crafter itself is probably like 40-50 grand. And I think
it's a new crafter.
Yeah,
oh.
yeah. And I think it's probably like 10 grand's worth of stuff that's gone in there.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and it's got like big signage outside that says "Road to Success Podcast." But it's been doing really, really well for him. And it's fast approaching the same numbers as like Misha and Tavarish on the YouTube channel.
Really?
Yeah, genuinely, yeah. People actually give a shit about my story, which is weird because my story is really boring.
Oh.
Like, it's just like, yeah, I grew up, I like cars, and then I started a channel. There's a little bit in between and stuff like that.
Okay.
We all know the story, you know, like starting the channel and then had a mini meltdown and all that kind of stuff.
But you even went into your previous history as well, how you...
As a hooker?
Yeah. You were terrible at that.
Yeah.
You got fired straight away.
Yeah, yeah. I just kept
your,
on...
Your pimp said, no.
You're making too much money.
Not today, Alex.
Not today. You're making me too much money. You're too successful. That ass in that skirt is just too successful.
And your glucking skills are too impressive.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, I've learned from the best, haven't I, Rory? So yeah, anyway, if you want to have a listen to that podcast, then do. It's called the Road to Success Podcast. It's on YouTube and all the ear-listen-y places.
And you can watch it on YouTube.
Yeah, you can watch it on YouTube, yeah. Because unlike us, he's not a prick and he puts it out in its entirety. And so everyone's like, oh, will you please upload the full podcast onto YouTube? The reason we don't do that is because we do the segments and we have the audio as well. So if we do the entire thing, then one person could listen to the same thing 3 times, which is just like, we can't do that.
If your channel is dedicated to podcasts, because then everyone knows what they're going in watching for.
Yeah.
Our channel isn't.
No, it's not.
No.
So that's why we do it. All right. So sorry, but shut up and just move on. What else have I been up to? There was another thing that I did. I can tell you something that Gareth did yesterday.
Was it yesterday?
Yeah. Why? Why do you do a big inhale?
It wasn't yesterday. Are you okay? You're not talking about what I'm talking about. Then.
What are you talking about?
He purchased something.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, this story just got so much better because I've just remembered something. Okay. So on the weekend, when was it? Yeah. It was Saturday morning. Gareth and his missus and his daughter came over to my house. Bearing in mind, my house is a building site.
It's very
so literally the
site.
Whole of the downstairs is upstairs. So me, Rianne, and my dog are already overcrowding the upstairs.
And you've got heating and hot water and
we
shower.
Don't even have a boiler,
Rory.
What we do have though is lots of dust upstairs, and it just goes everywhere. I wake up in the morning, I feel like I've got bed bugs. I think this whole new bed bug epidemic has started from my bedroom.
Okay, yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah. This is just rough. And we don't have showers, so we've actually had to join the gym.
Have you ever thought about treating Rianne to like a little Airbnb stay for
to
a week?
An oil heater?
No, to a hotel fan. Just to get away from it for a bit, you know.
It's her doing as well. She wanted it, man. So
yeah, I know, but with being the nice guy that you are,
No.
Sorry, I tried Rianne.
This is Rianne, her bed. She's got a lie in it. Anyway, so they came over, and Gareth wanted to view a brand new motorbike. Bicycle. And I was like, all right, we'll use my brand new to me trailer. A poor trailer. Motorbike trailer. It is so good. It tows like a dream. And we drove to, where was it? Somewhere East London-y. It took like an hour 45 to get to. We left at 8 in the morning, got there. And do you know what I'm greeted by, Rory? What motorbike it is?
Well, I do, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, you do, but everyone at home doesn't.
Okay.
Guess everybody at home what motorbike Gareth will own.
Let's tee this up. So you and Gareth, I think we mentioned before, went on a bike trip to Bruges where you had your new BMW S1000.
New to me, BMW S1000 RR 2013 Gen 2, 2014.
And Gareth had a Ducati.
Ducati 1198S.
And yours was comfortable and his was...
the opposite.
Yeah.
He's still complaining about his gooch. Apparently it's not recovered.
Okay.
And it apparently won't ever recover.
So the logical thing to do there is...
buy a car.
No.
Take a train.
No.
Buy an S1000 RR.
Yes.
So you can say that you've got one too.
Yeah.
But yours has to be newer and more expensive. So that's what Gareth did. So we went to look at it. Obviously went to buy it. And the seller, I forget his name, he didn't really budge on price that much. So I think Gareth got like 300 quid off.
Mm.
Yeah.
300 quid.
Yeah. Which is interesting because as this story unfolds, he's gonna really need that 300 quid.
Oh.
And more.
I haven't heard this.
No, you haven't heard this. It happened yesterday. I only found out yesterday when I went to pick up my VFR because Taylor's bought that. So anyway, loaded it up. Lovely. And then we just wheeled it into my building site and that's where it sat until the next day. So obviously you, me and Taylor and Luke, we all went to the Haynes Motor Museum to the Drive Show, which is very, very good. Yeah. And Gareth rode back with his wife in their F-Pace driving home. Had a great ride back.
Yeah.
And then he slotted the BMW S1000 RR into his garage. Bearing in mind, it is so full of motorbikes.
Yeah.
Part of the reason is my VFR was kind of in the corner, kind of in the way.
And
it was in the way.
And?
So yesterday morning. So actually, the night before last, I was speaking to Gareth on the phone, as we do, because we catch up quite a lot. And he was like, oh yeah, I nearly knocked over the bloody, what was it? The Fireblade. You know the Fireblade took to thing? To the Isle of Man. He was like, yeah, it got caught in my trouser pocket and I just caught it. I was like, oh, bloody hell, be careful. Anyway, yesterday I arrive to pick up my VFR and Gareth's still on a work phone because he does work stuff. And Aurelie, his missus, was like, Gareth's in a really bad mood. I was like, it's Gareth, he's always in a bad mood. Mm-hmm. She was like, whatever you do, do not go into the garage. And I was like, oh shit, what's he done? I open the garage.
Yeah.
I switch on the light.
Oh.
I look at the Fireblade. There's a hole in the tank.
The fuel tank?
Yeah. So there's an outer skin to it, like a plastic outer skin to it. And then inside you've got like the actual plastic fuel tank itself.
Yeah.
There's a big hole in it. The wing mirror is missing. There's scratches everywhere. And I'm like, oh shit. And then I look to my immediate right, which is where the BMW S1000 RR is. And I'm like, by logic, if that's fallen over, then it's probably fallen over into the BMW, which means by logic, the BMW has also fallen over. And Rory has fallen over.
Oh, no.
Yeah. All of the rear fairing, you know, by the lights and stuff.
Yeah.
Like cracked, properly cracked.
On the S1000?
On the brand new S1000RR. Oh.
Is that carbon fiber stuff?
It's not carbon fiber. Okay. Luckily. But what he's done is he's gone to lean over onto my VFR to do something. I'm not sure what. And then he's walked backwards. And again, the same pocket has caught the exhaust of the same motorbike, the Fireblade. And he's turned around. And as if in slow motion, the Fireblade falls into the BMW, which falls into a washing machine and tools. And he said it sounded like a motorbike crash. And he was very, very, very upset.
God, I can't imagine Gareth did not take that well.
Oh, no, because he spends so much time fixing his bikes.
He
up.
Does. So he's the opposite of you. He likes them to be pristine.
Oh, yeah. No, I like breaking stuff. He likes actually fixing stuff. So, he this was actually all before work. So he said to me yesterday, he couldn't actually concentrate on work. So he actually went online and he spoke to an American company and he just got it ordered.
Well, all of it?
All of it. Carbon fiber now. So that BMW S1000RR is going to have loads of carbon fiber on it.
And the Fireblade?
He hasn't done that yet. Okay. But that needs fixing. That needs selling. He should have sold that a long time ago.
He should have,
But that's his kind of like commuter bike. Because obviously you need a 175 horsepower commuter bike.
Okay. Is he still keeping this Ducati?
Oh, he'll never sell the Ducati.
Why?
Because he loves it so much.
But it's damaged him.
Yeah, it's all right though. He loves it. He absolutely loves it. But yeah, I felt really bad for him. I laughed a little bit on the inside.
Yeah.
And one day, Gareth, I'm sure we'll laugh. Maybe when we get Gareth on the podcast, we can talk about it. We'll bring it up.
Okay.
And then we'll say, we'll see.
Did you sense any sort of anger towards yourself?
No, I actually didn't. No.
Okay.
Because I was actually going yesterday to pick it up. So whatever he was doing, he didn't actually really need to do. And apparently it all fell down like dominoes. And then Aurelie, Gareth's wife, said, you need to get Alex to pick up his bike. And he was like, well, he's actually coming today anyway. So she was like, oh, okay. I'll shut up then.
But not only you have the VFR there, you do also have...
They're outside.
Okay.
The BMW and the Bandit are outside. Yeah. So it looks a bit like a scrapyard at the moment. But
speaking of which, we do need to do something with those bikes.
Yeah. We're just going to take them off-roading and ruin them.
Yeah. Because we did a cheap bike challenge.
Yeah. £500 cheap bike challenge. Yeah. Which did pretty well.
Yeah, but and then we never got around to actually finishing it off.
We were supposed to. There was a company that we were going to do some cool stuff with, but that just never got off the ground.
Yeah.
As is sometimes the case.
Yeah, but we will try and finish most things that we start.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Actually, I did get, I've had two emails about this project that we never actually.
Are you talking about trading up?
No. I'm talking, it was right at the start.
Oh, don't talk about the Diesel MX-5.
The Diesel MX-5.
No.
I've had a few emails about that in the podcast asking, oh, do you mind if Alex could talk about the Diesel MX-5 or what happened to that?
What, are they from Birmingham?
Yeah.
Was it you?
Everyone's,
is it you emailing?
It's me. I'm just emailing myself, yeah. So, what happened to the Diesel MX-5?
I think this was right at the beginning of the channel.
It was.
Stuff was, we just didn't know what direction the channel was going in. And then it just all kind of exploded. And then we quickly realized that we didn't have time for that or the people or the manpower. And other stuff was doing really well. Namely, buying shit cars and going on adventures.
The problem is, so a YouTube channel is a business at the end of the day.
Business.
It's a business. Obviously, a lot of it is fun. A lot of it like is great. But the thing is, like, there's only so many videos you can do where, you know, because there's a lot of people who say that they like to see you guys working on cars. They like to see all of this stuff. But at the end of the day, most people like to see a new car being bought.
Yeah.
They like to see a cheap car. They like to see an adventure.
Yeah.
So we have got to kind of just stick to what most people do want to see.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think we've done quite well recently, showing some building of cars and all this.
And we've
stuff.
Got a lot coming out on the V2 channel soon.
Yes. So, which is why we have started the second V2 channel to show a bit more of the actual, what is happening when we do fix up cars and stuff like that.
The nitty gritty.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of these crap cars that we buy before we take them on adventures. We check them over. We make sure they're all right and we get them all fixed up if they're not. Because we're not dumb.
No.
We do like to actually make
we
sure.
We act dumb.
Yeah.
But we're not that dumb.
We like to make sure our cars are safe, unlike some other people.
Says you, who's driving on tyres with bulges.
I've only just found out and now I'm trying to get a solution.
You should have checked those tyres when you got them from
Taylor.
And
it's on the inner bit.
Well, why didn't you check them before you put them on the car? You put those wheels on the car yourself.
I was so excited to put the new wheels on that. I didn't even
bother
to look. But anyway, then I got them checked. But that's the main thing, is getting them checked.
All right. I'm just looking around. Oh, I've been doing a lot of driving of Phil.
I was going to ask, actually.
Yeah.
Because you drove that to the Haynes Museum.
I did.
Are you having a bit more fun driving this?
I do love Phil. I really love Phil. I do need to get diff bushes.
Yep.
Because they're completely totaled. I don't think they've ever been done. And I've spoken to a company called Carbon Miata.
Yes.
And
do they do?
they do tires.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Carbon fiber tires. No, they do carbon bits for Miatas. As name would give it away. Mm. So the bonnet that everyone's like crying about, lack appeal.
No, they're not crying about the lack appeal.
They are.
No,
it's a lack appeal.
No, they're crying about the fact that you drilled two big holes in it and put these weird metal vents.
It looks cool. So anyway, I've asked Carbon Miata, and have they got back to me? I don't think they have. I've asked them for a whole bunch of bits, including a new bonnet, a new boot spoiler, because that's never really fitted properly because it was like one of their pre-production ones. And crucially, what's very, very heavy on an MX-5, except for the driver? And high up as well, which means that the center of gravity is shit. Yeah.
Do they do a roof?
They do roofs.
No.
They do carbon fiber roofs.
And do they look exactly like the actual original ones?
No, they look carbon fiber.
No, but do they
ask a stupid question? Get a stupid.
Do they have any sort of like different styling?
No,
like,
no, they look the same. They look the same.
The exact same.
Yeah.
So is it going to have a glass window or a plastic window?
Good question. I don't know. I think it'll probably be plastic.
Oh.
It will be really, really noisy. But at the moment, I drive Phil with earplugs anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Is it really that noisy inside Phil?
It's noisy.
Is that from the exhaust or?
Partly, and just like from the engine. I mean, there's not a lot of like NVH in there, obviously.
You have got quite sensitive ears as well, haven't you?
Well, I have burst my right eardrum twice, so I'd prefer not to do that again.
No, that's fine.
All right.
Just keep going.
Okay, yeah.
Just burst the other one now.
All right. So, I'm waiting to hear back from Carbon Miata. Carbon Miata, I'm waiting to hear back from you. Hello. But he said, yeah, let me see what I can do. So, because we're going to be doing more building with Phil. Going to take Phil back to Bruno. Oh, because there's a video coming out tomorrow.
Yes, there is. Yeah.
Oh, because I took Phil to
Not tomorrow.
Yeah.
Thursday.
Yeah. Yes. When are they listening to this, Rory?
Oh, yeah.
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 Today is...
Shut up, Alex.
Yeah, shut up, Rory. So tomorrow on the main channel, you're going to see some Phil content for the first time in a long time. And then after that, Phil goes to the Nürburgring because we go and pick up, I can say it now, the Jaguar.
Yeah. So the story behind which is we kind of had to go and pick up the Jaguar quite quickly.
Oh, because it was getting quite expensive.
Yeah. So do you want to tell the story? Because you now can tell the story of what happened to the Jaguar.
Yeah. Okay. So Misha was driving around. He went to the car park where we had to leave the Jaguar. And he was like, Alex, we have a problem. It's been stolen. So I phoned up the council, found out where it was. It's a company called Lenz, and they're the ones who take away the cars from the Nürburgring when they crash. And it also turns out they just go around stealing people's cars.
Or we just didn't read the fact that there was a big sign on the front of the car park that says no cars left in here overnight.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much. So they took it away on a Saturday, and then I got in contact with them, and they're like, oh, yeah, okay, it's like €200 for the takeaway, and then €15 a day with us. I was like, oh. Okay, it's not actually too bad.
No.
Turns out it's actually quite bad because when we rocked up there, I had a bill for €450.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And so we were planning on going there and then we were like, well, we've got an empty trailer going there.
Yeah.
We might as well trailer something over.
Yeah.
So that's when we decided to take Phil and get his revenge on the Nürburgring because last time you went, it didn't go well.
No.
Engine
was not happy. Massive oil spillage. Anyway, Phil is back at the unit. The question is, did Phil get back under his own steam or did I drive Phil back? I drove Phil back.
You drove him back?
I drove, yeah.
Yeah.
The engine didn't break this time. That V6 is really good.
No.
And I'm going to take it back to Bruno because the aim is to get that engine to over 300 horsepower naturally aspirated.
Which will be mental.
It will be
300
really
horsepower in this is going to be extreme.
And I need to go back to Rich's fabrication as well because Bruno is insistent on a 3-incher.
Yeah, he's saying that there wasn't enough airflow.
No.
So, and there's a few other things. I think you weren't entirely happy with Phil going around the track, were you, at the Nürburgring?
No, I mean, you'll see it in the video, but yeah, the tyres hadn't been running yet because I'm an idiot. And the suspension, I mean, the front and the rear of the car just felt like it wasn't even connected. So it was a really dodgy lap. And we had Misha in his Polestar 1 or 2 or 7 or 5, whatever it's called, behind. And it was, you know, I was just trying to keep it behind me for as long as possible.
And you did quite well up until a certain point.
And then everything just went tits up.
Yeah.
And then the car, well, I think it was the tyres at that point. There was some like release compound or so. And I was just like, oh shit, yeah, I'm about to crash. Yeah. So I had to take it really easy. Yeah.
Because I remember, so it was me and Taylor and Josh and Misha were in the Polestar.
Yeah.
And we got across the line and we turned around behind us and we were like, Alex isn't there. And then we waited and we were going really slow and we were like, Alex still isn't there. And then you could tell there was this moment on our faces where we were like going,
did you think I crashed?
We thought you'd binned it.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, we thought you'd binned it.
Oh, shit.
Because you were so, you'd obviously had to let off so much.
Yeah, yeah.
That we were like, oh, he wasn't that far behind. Like, yeah, he wasn't that much slower than us. And we were like,
I really had to ease off. But you'll see the lap in a video tomorrow.
No, not tomorrow.
Shut up, everyone. It's not tomorrow. It's the week after.
They'll see the modifying of Phil.
We'll see the modifying of the lap.
Soon after.
Yeah. So the plan is, like I said, get Phil on the channel a bunch more and yeah, just share experiences of living with a V6 MX-5. It's good.
Do you feel like you've fallen a bit back in love with that car? Because you definitely, well, you didn't drive it for a year.
I didn't. No. I was just like, there was just so many other things. And I think the whole YouTube thing just completely took over my life.
Yeah.
I was just a little bit blinkered. And now I'm just back in it and trying to get a bit of a work-life balance back because I haven't been doing that.
No.
And neither have you, Rory.
No, we both haven't really, have we?
No. We need to spend more time with each other, Rory.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Should we go on holiday?
Let's go on holiday.
To America.
I can't go to America.
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
There's like visa issues. No. Like, apparently I got arrested. Should we gloss over that?
Well, let's just gloss over that. Yeah. But yeah, we were meant to be going to SEMA, but we are now no longer going to SEMA.
Well, I'm still trying.
Are we still trying?
I'm still trying.
Okay.
But there's
probably a very small chance that we are.
Yeah, but there's still a chance. Yeah. There's always a chance.
As long as
I don't get arrested.
But we'll do something else cool instead.
We will. So I think, how long have we been chatting for? Long time.
32 minutes.
32 minutes.
So that would be probably a 48 minute podcast so far.
Oh, well, we have to get it up to 50 minutes.
Okay.
Entertain everyone who's listening to this in their lorries or on the road or on the toilet. Or
can I say, it is really cool when people are sending us, like, they keep tagging us.
Dick pics.
No.
Sorry.
Like lorry drivers, people in tractors, everything like that. They keep tagging us in all the photos of listening to the podcast. I had a man in a... I still can't remember the name of it. It was some sort of Toyota MPV sort of thing.
Yeah.
That is a Jap import. And he came alongside me. And I was on the phone to Chris at the time.
Were you texting?
No, I was using my Bluetooth system in my car. Thank you very much.
Oh, that's very posh.
And I kept hearing this horn going off. And I was like, what is going on? And I looked to the right of me. And there's just this man waving his phone at me with the Auto Alex podcast on the screen. Just like this. And I'm like going, all right, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very cool.
It's not as sketchy as a man in Germany who was actually watching it on the V2.
He was, wasn't he?
And he was shining it at me. I was like, that's cool, but also really not cool. Really not cool.
But it's fine because it was abroad, so it doesn't count.
International waters.
Yeah.
So we hope that everyone's enjoying the podcast. Please, if you are enjoying the podcast, then leave us a good review because we love seeing it.
Yeah.
We do.
No, it's really good.
I had to read through of like Apple or Spotify or so, and there's so much positivity. Like people genuinely getting a kick out of this.
I think people do love it. Podcasts.
Podcast.
Podcast.
But...
we always wanted to do a podcast, I think, because it was one of the things where I think you were saying with Carfrol, where people do always come up to you guys saying, like, really love the Carfrol podcast. When's it coming back? Blah, 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 and all that stuff. Yeah. So, yeah, it's good that it's back in some
form. Fantastic. Should we, before we hand over to Richard Hammond?
Yeah.
I've just thought of a car, a really obscure car.
No, well, am I going to know this car? And it's my turn as well.
All right, fine. You think of a car.
I've got one which I know you would know.
Okay.
But I know you will not get.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a bit of a dick move to say. You're outing me in front of the whole audience.
You know this car very well, but you will not get it.
Fine. Okay. Challenge accepted. We're going to play 20 questions, and you at home or on the toilet or on your lorries are going to join in. What are you looking for?
I need my phone so I can get...
What, so you can Google if it's front-wheel drive or rear-wheel drive and all that?
Yes, yeah.
Do you need to Google it now, quickly?
I will have a quick look and... Yeah.
Oh, for crying out
loud. Wait, all right, just go.
Okay. Is it European?
No.
Is it American?
No.
I'm out. What's not European or American? Is it Australian?
No. I love how you're forgetting
is
a whole...
Is it Russian?
No.
Oh, is it from the UK? Is it English? British?
We're European, you tit.
Yeah, but Brexit.
No. No. Also, you're still forgetting a whole massive car...
Is it Chinese?
It is Chinese, but you're still forgetting a massive car group.
A car group?
Yeah. What are some of the most famous cars? The ones that everyone probably would like to see more of on the channel, but we don't do much of them.
Oh, Japanese?
Yes.
Is it Japanese?
It's no, it's Chinese.
Oh, it's Chinese.
You did get it right with Chinese.
Okay. Is it, how many am I up to? I'm like five.
Wait, let me just confirm it.
Oh, for crying out. Oh, God's sake. Sorry, everyone. You should have been more prepared when I sprung this on you.
Yeah, great.
Okay, so everyone at home, think of a Chinese car. Have you got your Chinese car? Rory
is still... Okay. I've got it now.
Okay.
It's Chinese.
Okay. So you actually had to Google if it was Chinese?
Yeah.
And you say I'm shit at geography?
Well, no, I just needed to... that's got nothing to do with geography. I just needed to make sure... I was pretty sure it was Chinese.
Pretty sure it was Chinese. Okay. Yeah. Is it electric?
Yes.
Oh! Ho, ho! Is it from a startup electric car company?
I wouldn't describe them as a startup anymore.
I'm just waiting for a yes or no answer. I wouldn't describe them. Is it all right? Fine. I'll rephrase.
Yep.
Is it BYD?
Yes.
Is it a BYD seal?
It is a BYD seal.
That was shit. That was shit.
Well, I just didn't think you'd. You'd
a Chinese, literally, that's the only Chinese car I can think of.
I thought you'd go for Japanese and then start trying to...
I forgot about Japan.
Yeah, how?
What do you mean you thought I'd go for Japan? It's either Japan or China. I said to you, is it Chinese? You said yes.
I kind of forgot about the fact that there aren't really any other manufacturers that we know from China.
No, no. Right, my turn.
Okay.
Go.
Is it European?
Yes.
French?
Yes. Wait, hold on, I need to get my phone. Wait, one sec. I'm going to put you down for a sec. Just entertain everyone, Rory.
Okay.
Tell everyone how much you love me.
Why, what are you doing? Are you Googling it?
I'm Googling.
He's Googling as well. Okay, Alex is Googling right now. So this is, he's doing the exact same thing that I had to do.
Yeah. So you're, yeah, good. Right, two.
Citroen.
No.
Peugeot.
No.
Alpine.
No. The major Renault. French manufacturer. Yeah, Renault. Six. Okay. Oh. Oh, go on.
Is it?
Yeah.
A Renault Aventine?
No, it's not. Why would you say that, though?
Because we saw it at the show.
We saw what? Yeah. At the Drive Tribe show. It's very cool. Very cool. Very cool. Okay.
All right. Renault.
Here we go. Seven.
Is it electric?
No. Eight.
Oh, okay. And I'll know this car.
You should do.
I don't know many French cars, so
okay. Everyone at home, it is French. It's a Renault, and it's not electric. And because it's me, it's going to be obscure. People are screaming.
Is it front wheel drive then?
No.
Oh, okay.
There's one very, very obvious Guess.
So it's a rear, is it four-wheel drive?
No.
So it's rear-wheel drive?
It's rear-wheel drive. You're at 9.
Oh, God.
What's a really obvious one now? A rear-wheel drive Renault.
Is it pre-2000s?
Oh, God. Hold on. Let me just get Wikipedia out. I am going to say, once I've consulted thing, yes, it is. Would you like to know the production dates?
Oh, no, that wasn't pre-2000s.
What's the really obvious one? So everyone can get it out the way, because everyone's thinking of one car at the moment.
I don't think they are.
A rear-wheel drive Renault.
Is it mid-engine?
One sec. Yes. Oh, I'm very hungry.
Is it the V6? Is it a V6?
No. That's thrown you, hasn't it?
So it's not the... I can't even remember the name of that one.
The Clio V6?
Yeah, Clio V6.
That's the one that everyone's screaming. Yeah. Right, everyone at home, calm down. Pipe down, okay?
All right, so it's not a Clio V6, but it's still rear-wheel drive. And it's mid-engine.
Yeah.
Did Renault do any sort of like weird, obscure supercar things?
No. Is that a question?
No, that wasn't a question. No, I was asking myself a question.
Okay, right, okay.
What if I don't know this car?
Then you're an idiot.
No.
Okay, I'll give you a clue. There was one at Shedfest.
I didn't see anything at Shedfest.
Neither did I, but I know it was there.
How do you know it was there?
Because I saw pictures of it. And I was like, oh, that's cool. There's a Renault there.
Okay. I literally don't know anything other than I might have to give up on this.
Okay. How about if I get a picture up?
Yeah. I think you could show me a picture and I wouldn't know the name of it.
Do you know this vehicle?
Nope.
Oh, wow. It's a Renault Spider. Yay!
Nope. Never heard of that before.
You've never heard of a Renault Spider? Renault Sport Spider is a roadster produced by the French automaker Renault Sport between 96 and 99.
I would like to know if people actually knew that.
I reckon a lot of people. Yeah, if you knew that, why am I looking at the wall? There's no camera. If you knew that, then please let us know. Write in. Actually, why don't you just message Rory on his Instagram telling me he's a bloody idiot?
Brilliant.
So, sports car, two-door roadster. The layout is rear, mid-rear. Doors are scissor doors.
Really?
Yep. And there was one at Shedfest, which is very, very cool. It's so a
obscure.
2 litre.
That's so obscure.
Yeah, 2 litre, 5-speed manual. So I win, you lose.
Taylor would have got that. So
he probably would. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, speaking of winning and losing, we definitely won on the weekend, didn't we? Because we went to the first ever Drive Tribe car show at the Haynes Motor Museum.
And there was go-karting as well.
There was go-karting.
Oh, and it was, so the Stig had to set a time.
Which is really, like, that's, like, it, as the Stig, why would you ever agree to set a time on a go-kart? Because you're going to get beaten.
And I think he did have to do it when it was quite cold compared to how.
And he's like 90 kilos.
Yeah.
And all the go-karts are going to be different. Different way.
This sounds like you're different. Making up a lot of excuses.
For him, because I was quicker than him.
You were quicker than the Stig.
Don't you? You were quicker than him.
No.
Yeah, I'm pretty much a racing driver.
So who was the quickest out of the influencer?
Jimmy Broadbent.
Second?
I think it was Matt Armstrong's friend, I think. And then it was Matt Armstrong and then it was me.
Okay.
But like I said, if we all had the same go-karts.
Where did Taylor come?
Seventh. Out of eight.
Who was eight?
I don't know, someone who's not fatter than Taylor, but just slower.
Okay.
Yeah. So Taylor, I think, knows the lines very well. I think he could be quite good in a car.
Yeah.
But on a go-kart, there's obviously a massive weight discrepancy.
We'll have to test that.
Will have to test that. Yeah. Yeah. We'll race for pink slips. Anyway, we went to the Drive Tribe show. It was really cool. Go-karting.
Yeah.
There was like live Q&A with TV celebs and YouTubers alike.
There was a smart car that was done Back to the Future style.
I saw a picture of that. Yeah. That was shit.
It was good.
It was good.
A Renault Aventine.
There was an Aventine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good eclectic And oh, are you talking about the E91 M3?
Yes, I am. Yes.
There's a man who built his own E91 M3, which was very, very cool to see. And parked right next to him was it a B7 RS4?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
So that for me was like the coolest.
I think it was a B. Wasn't it the same generation as us?
No. It was the one after. Definitely one after. But yeah, really cool show. And as part of that, we were given 20 minutes with Richard Hammond.
Yep.
So we got in at 9. Our interview was at 9. We were late, obviously. And we jumped into a green room and we had a chat. So why don't we jump straight over to our chat with Richard Hammond? All right. And we are now joined by Mr. Richard Hammond himself. Welcome to the Autolex podcast. How are you doing? What you been up to and where are we now?
Right. I'll take those in order. I'm very well, thank you.
Good.
Quite weary. Been doing that working thing.
Yeah, what, YouTube?
No, just like work generally.
Oh, right.
I'm 35 years into my career.
I thought you were going to say I'm 35. And,
no, I'm 35 years into a career and I've suddenly ended up working occasionally. It's scary.
I know. You should have just stopped at like 45.
I don't know why I did. I might have been doing bits messing around with Grand Tour. And then straight...
Did you get stuck somewhere?
Might have done. And then straight
into... Moved that on very quickly.
Straight into prepping for this, which is the first of our, planned series of Drive Tribe at events. Because, you all know this. In the digital world, whether you're podcasting, whether you're YouTubing, however you're connecting, it's fantastic, it's immediate, it's direct, and we can revel in being able to have response and engage, and that's great. And I love the to and fro, but sometimes there's no substitute for actual physical presence.
Yeah.
So we thought, let's give it a shot. We'll give it a go and try and do a small gathering of the tribe.
Yeah, and we're at the
Haynes Museum, which felt like the right place to kick it off, because obviously there's a lot to see here.
Yeah.
We had a mooch about.
I haven't, no. I've literally just arrived and then straight in here.
Well, my entire youth was spent thumbing through their manuals for whatever piece of tat I was trying to persuade to keep going on the road. So it's quite nice to be here for real. So we figured, let's give it a go. So hopefully there'll be a load of people turning up, really big range of cars I want to see. We've got some stuff to show off. So we've got Martin, my Subaru that is now terrifying. Oliver and Olivia, his new girlfriend. We've got the
Oliver's got a girlfriend.
Oh yeah,
that is hot.
We've got the Chevrolet SSR that I drove on Grand Tour, and then we've got Mike's Rover that has just been painted. I know. He's so...
Why do you look so happy about a Rover,
mate?
He's in the background, just doing the fist punch.
I'm not going to go and describe it. All I'll say is we did discuss the paint is quite a lot better than the car.
Did you guys paint the car by any chance?
there's a lot of stuff to see. So let's see how it goes. It's going to be a fun day.
Fantastic. And you've got some special guests as well, namely Ben Collins of Stig. And he's got a bit of a difficult day, doesn't he?
I've only recently had confirmation of this. Yes, you're going to be doing some go-karting, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah, you are. So there's some go-karting going on with influencers and YouTubers and names and faces such as yourself. But Ben, Mike, did he volunteer for this or did you bully him into
it? How much has he been paid
Mike's
for this?
Just
not enough.
Is it right? He's up for it.
Right.
What we want him to do is go out and set a target time that then everybody here can have a go and try and beat.
But it's important to note, isn't it, that it is, 9 a.m. and it's still very cold.
It's frosty. I had to defrost my Jag this morning.
Oh, really?
But if I were Ben, I'd just say no.
I wouldn't turn up.
Because if you think about it, it's a lose-lose. Because if he sets the fastest time, well, we'll all just go, of course, you're a pro. Yeah. Of course you did. And then if we beat that time, you're also a loser. So it's a lose-lose.
Yeah.
But I think it's very brave of him to do it, and we're very grateful to him.
Brave or stupid?
He hasn't done it yet. So once he's done it, let's imagine by the time this goes out, he's done it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ben. Cheers, mate.
Cheers, mate. Unlucky I beat you.
Bad luck.
Rory, if I beat Ben Collins on the go-kart track, I am literally going to die happy.
I don't think he'd let you live that down, actually.
No, he wouldn't. He would crash into me, wouldn't he?
Yeah. There'd be violence towards
there would be violence. Yeah, I'm excited for that. Anyway, time is quite limited. So, Richard, while we've got you, we just wanted to thumb through the past, your back catalogue, really, and just delve into Richard Hammond's brain a little bit, and namely talk about the challenges that you guys are so famous for on Top Gear, on the Grand Tour. And Rory, did you want to kick things off a little bit?
Yeah, so we just wanted to talk about what was like the toughest slash sort of sketchiest challenge that you ever did on Top Gear slash Grand Tour. Was there a moment where you were like, this is getting a bit too, like, we might not make this?
Yeah, I would say probably, so the first special that we ever did, like the big adventure ones, that was Botswana. when I got Oliver. That was lovely.
That's when you had to shoot Oliver in the face.
Yeah, okay, a little bit. But that was great. That was a genuinely gorgeous trip. But then we decided, well, we realized people really enjoyed those. So yeah. We thought, let's do some more of those big adventures. And being us, we got carried away. I think the first time I realized, oh, actually, this is quite unpleasant, was we did Bolivia. And we started with, I had an old Toyota Land Cruiser, an old one. Jeremy had a Range Rover and James had a little Suzuki.
Yeah. SJ, something. Yeah. That's actually my favorite. Top Gear Challenge.
Right. So we turned up with them on the boat, if you remember.
Remember that.
Job one was, right, they've all arrived on a barge.
Viagra. Sorry, I've just remembered Viagra. Happened later
on. I'll clarify that for you, dear listener, if you're wondering why. I'll get to that. So all three cars arrived on a boat and we were like, well, because in a movie, you just say, right, let's get the cars off the boat and then they'll be off the boat. Yeah. So we said, yeah, let's do that. And like 2 days later, they're still on the boat. It's really hard.
Oh, it took that long?
No, it was impossible. So we got them off the boat. But then it quickly became clear, and we always moan that our cars aren't working because that gives you good TV.
Because they are all a bit shit, aren't
they? Yeah, well, my Land Cruiser was entirely shit. it had no clutch or brakes. But when I mean, it's not like... My dear pal, colleague, co-worker Jeremy Clarkson has occasionally deployed exaggeration.
Yes.
Yeah. It actually had no clutch or brakes. The only way to start it was...
Is it because it was an auto?
No, it's because it was knackered. I had to start in first low ratio in gear.
Oh, wow.
And then shift it through clutchlessly. But then as I was driving through the rainforest, the windows wouldn't shut. And we were off-road through the rainforest. You'd drive past the boughs of the trees and the bough would sort of come into the car and deposit from it all the mini insects and things in it.
Yeah.
Amongst which were, it turned out, when I looked up and discovered stuck to the roof, a brown recluse spider, which is the one that bites you and then it rots the flesh off your bones. You see?
Idiot,
really. About the least pleasant thing I can imagine. It's about the size of your hand, looks like a giant house spider.
They definitely try and downplay that, don't they? Because I remember from that episode, they were just going, oh, Richard's just afraid of some insects.
No.
Richard was afraid of rotten,
stuck to the roof inside the car. So I got the expedition doctor to come over and have a look. What's that? Oh, it's a brown recluse. Is it bad?
Yeah, really bad.
we got rid of it and set off. And as we drove on, I felt something land on my left shoulder. And there is the bloody thing.
Oh, bugger.
So I did a big, brushed it off.
Was that on camera, that bit?
No, because we were when we do those journeys, we are doing those journeys.
Yeah.
And you can't film all of it because if it's a 2 week journey, the show's 2 weeks long. So we had a long drive that night ahead of us, about 8 hours. So I just brushed it off, threw myself out of the car, grabbed the radio, radioed the car ahead, said, come back, quick, check me for spiders.
They get a gun.
There were none on me. You could have saddled it and ridden it.
Oh.
So they checked me for spiders. It wasn't on me. And then I realized, hang on, I brushed it off into the car and I've got an 8 hour drive through the rainforest at night ahead of me. So for the next 8 hours, I was just thinking, well, where is it?
Yeah.
It's in here somewhere. In the end, I couldn't stand it anymore on my own. I thought, I need company. So I radioed to the crew car ahead. Lads, I'm sorry to do this, but I need somebody with me. I'm going mad. So their car stopped and they threw out a new runner who just joined us.
Oh, no.
Called Greg. Thin Greg, we called him. He weighed about 2 stone. And he walked up meekly and said, hello, I'm Greg. Hi, Greg. In you get. Just make sure you can always see your hands wherever they are.
Yeah.
Put this on. It was deep, but it doesn't keep spiders.
No.
Put that on and then just don't put your hands anywhere out of sight. And then we drove on for 8 hours.
Was this company or were you just hoping that the spider would go for Greg?
It was more bait.
Okay, yeah.
than company, I think. Yeah. And the Viagra thing was because later in that same... Not because of Thin Greg. No, that's poor. We went up the Altiplano, which is the big volcanic place, which is very, very high. Mm. So we took Viagra because that apparently helps with altitude sickness.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to talk anymore about
that. Have you ever had to combat altitude sickness?
I've never had any trouble with altitude sickness in inverted commas.
Fantastic. No. Okay. Okay.
Should we move on? Because it was an awkward... Did you get that pause then?
That was an awkward pause.
You went like
pause.
This. Okay.
Yeah.
And then there was that pause. Like that.
That was that pause.
Yeah.
That was that. Just move on with it. Oh, God. Now Richard Hammond's saying, carry on to me. Now I've got so much pressure. So you would say that special for you was the sketchiest? Was there one that you just thought, actually, I'm done, I just want to go home?
Yeah, the North Pole was pretty rugged.
Yeah.
But again, I love that environment because it wants to kill you. And it's kind of exciting. And it's also about, you've got to have everything with you. Your personal kit is your life. If you lose a glove, you're going to lose the hand it went on. So I quite liked the challenge of that. But there were moments when I was for throwing in the towel there.
Yeah.
So it's not really an option.
No, it's not.
What can you do?
How much crew was with you on that one? Because I saw there was, from the behind the scenes stuff that they have showed, it looks like there was quite a lot of crew with James and Jeremy, obviously trying to get through the
North Pole.
Yeah.
I was just me and like a cameraman and a sound man and Maddie on the sledge. That was it. We were a tiny unit.
Wow.
Yeah. And I wasn't long out of brain injury. And we did say to the doctors, can Richard go to the Arctic? I don't know, we haven't been asked that before.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was tough, but an amazing place to go.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd love to go back. I'd love to do more Arctic stuff.
Fantastic.
Maybe. Well, not today.
Not well, it's quite cold out, isn't
busy.
It? Yeah, you are quite busy today. I just had a quick recollection about 15 years ago or so when I was working, or maybe 20, God, I'm old. When I was working at Domino's, I used to spend my free time when I was waiting for deliveries reading your autobiography.
Oh, wow.
Talking about your brain injury, how you're in hospital.
It was from that, yeah.
How you suddenly decided that you need to become a smoker again.
I did.
Yeah.
I've gone off.
Oh, and the erections thing.
And no, then you're,
that was
you're
in the book.
Yeah, you're trying to
genuinely.
With memories.
Genuinely.
Yeah, I think you were reading a different book you'd maybe found lying on a bench.
I'm sure,
somewhere.
No, I'm going to have to reread that book.
Was it one of your car magazines that you kept on top of your wardrobe?
The one with the sticky pages. Yeah, oh, Christ. This is embarrassing. This is embarrassing. Okay, well, moving forwards now, Richard, we're going to not discuss erections or Viagra anymore. What's going on with you guys at Drive Tribe? What have you got planned? What's coming up?
Well, we're having a great time. It's having a period of monumental growth in every single way. And we've got more and more partners working with us, which we're absolutely loving. Audience is growing and growing, and we're really growing that sense of community around it. And I think that's an expression of what's happening in the wider car world. There's no doubt, you know, things have to change. That doesn't mean we're all going to be driving electric cars. It'll be a blend of electric, hydrogen, combustion, hydrogen fuel cells, synthetic fuels in internal combustion engines, etc. We all know that. It has to be. There's no alternative. But while that's going on, as it polarizes out into the purely utilitarian, this is how you're going to get to school or work. You press a button on your smartphone and an autonomous, anonymous box turns up and moves you there. More and more people are going, yeah, I get that. But I quite like my old VW Polo or Corsa, humble car. I just like it. And then they'll think, oh, hang on, I'm a car enthusiast. I didn't even know I was. So I think we all, you, me, all of us, have to be braced for a massive influx of people who suddenly count themselves amongst our number. So we're kind of getting ready to accommodate that in Drive Tribe. So things like today's event, getting people together. And I'm hoping to see a real blend of cars out there. I want to see every type of vehicle.
I've brought Phil with me. Do you know Phil?
Hang on. Should do. Go on.
It's my V6 MX-5.
Right. I should know Phil. Have I met Phil before? I think.
Did I not see Phil?
Yeah.
Matwood.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
I did.
I think I pushed you towards him and said, Richard, that's Phil. Can you say hello to Phil?
I apologize for not recognizing Phil. Yeah, but I think we should have every aspect of it here. And we're going to continue growing that on Drive Tribe. I'm loving that sense of community, which is becoming more and more important to all of us. So events like today will cement and solidify that, but then it'll obviously carry on platform through our channels and indeed your own work, all of us.
Do you think when you originally, you guys started Drive Tribe, you realized like what you were starting when you first did that? Like, was it, did you know really much of YouTube?
It's also been through a lot of iterations, yeah. Drive Tribe.
It has. I mean, it was going more the app route. I think it's now found its, well, I know it's now found its feet.
100%,
it's found its feet as a community and as a handy gathering point more than anything else. I'd love it to be that. I'd love it to be somewhere where you go and then from there you step off to whatever it is you want to focus down on. We wouldn't have shaped it exactly like it is now, no, because we didn't know. Same as, to be honest, when we started Top Gear. We had no idea what it was going to become. We didn't set out to create that specifically. We set out to make the best car show we could. With Drive Tribe, we're just setting out to build the best car community we can, the best meeting place for car fans. And then it'll be that community and those fans that'll take it and shape it and will determine where and what it ends up as.
Mm, very interesting. And obviously, you are now a YouTube star. Yeah. Yeah. You're a YouTuber now, Richard.
Yeah. I don't feel any difference.
Do you not? So, Looking forwards, do you think YouTube is actually going to start phasing out TV more and more? Because obviously we've heard the recent news, and more people, I think, are finding themselves on YouTube for their car content.
I think the whole media business is undergoing a monumental change. I mean, it's great for the likes of me and you. You know, I've spent, how many years, decades now, talking about cars on television. And both cars and television are undergoing monumental change. So there's never been a better time to do it. There's never been more to talk about. I think television is shifting. Defining it as television is kind of odd now, really.
There's blurred lines now, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. So it's about media to be consumed. It's pictures with accompanying sounds, whether that's delivered via YouTube, via your own platforms, via television. And I mean, television itself, well, what's that? Is it the streamers? Is it linear terrestrial? Is it linear satellite, digital? I don't know. About 28 years ago, I was working on Granada Men and Motors, which was an early satellite. That was cutting edge because it didn't have the big budget. It wasn't a linear scheduled television.
I think that's the thing with YouTube, though. It gives you that a bit more freedom as well, because you're not under pressure from other organizations that may
want you to do. When it works really well, it's about the democratization of that media, because it's no longer about saying, hey, I'm a facilities house and I've got £2 million worth of kit, yeah, so I can make television, because you can do it on your telephone and it can be broadcast quality. What that means is, the value lies in the ideas, in the creative, in the communicators, in the people making it, in the message. So the value is entirely in the creative, not in the kit. And I'm all for that, because in the old days, if you were in a position to buy all the clobber to make TV, you could make TV. Now anybody can. So it's got to be good to stand out. So it's good for all. That's good for us as consumers and for us as producers.
Fantastic. All right. Well, we won't take up much more of your time.
Mike's just quickly,
eight pals. Right, that's enough.
You have to go and stand there. Can I just say, we're just knocking Mike, which I like doing, the bastard would not let me drive my Subaru. So Martin, which is the Subaru I had on Gran Turismo.
Well, Mike said it's too much for you now.
We've done all this. No, he won't let me drive it because he went, well, when you do your first drive, that's got to be your first drive.
Oh.
So he won't. So I'm going to drive it on the channel, obviously. Yeah, I get that. But I was thinking, I'll have had it and run around in it for a little bit. No. So he's driven it. Andrew from the COG's driven it. Isaac, who's only 10 from the COB, has driven it.
Mike, can I have a go?
I'll let you know what it's like. Everybody else has, but not me.
To be fair, knowing those Subarus, that engine's probably going to blow up before.
Yeah, well, I better have a go at it before it lets go.
Oh dear.
No. It hasn't gone.
It's going. You got Rod Knock. You got Bore Score.
Mike, if that car lets go before I drive it.
Oh, he looks very upset.
I will be so very upset.
Do you think there's any scope in getting Phil on the channel, and then maybe we could do something fun with Phil?
Talk to Mike if he's nodding his head.
Yeah, he's nodding
his head. I defer to him on all.
I've got
M10. He has.
All right. Okay. So V10 MX5.
Mike's a little
V6
off Mike
MX5.
There. He's got a V10 MX5 and he's doing a little.
I suppose you've also got a much bigger penis as well, Mike. Is that true? No. You probably do.
You know, you can, these jokes are good.
Yeah.
You can hint at them. It's funnier if you go less completely on the nose.
Okay.
You could have made a trouser reference or a packaging reference. That would have been enough. Simply saying, I suppose you've got a big penis as well.
Yeah.
Is a bit, it's not.
Okay.
We can work on this.
Cut that. Okay. Mike, I bet you've got a lovely package. Is that? For crying out loud. It's going to be a long day. We're going to call it there. Richard Hammond, thank you very much for your time.
Always a pleasure. Nice to see you. Have a good day.
So that was cool. That was Richard Hammond.
Yeah. That was quite weird sitting next to a Top Gear person and interviewing them.
Yeah, he was on Top Gear, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah, yeah. Which is cool also because he was talking about my favourite ever Top Gear episode. Bolivia. Go through the jungle. I love that.
I didn't realise that they filmed that sort of stuff for 2 weeks and just didn't film some days.
Yeah, yeah.
Looking back at it now, I wish I'd asked him whether they did the whole 2 week drive themselves or whether they.
Nah, no way.
Do you not think?
No way.
No,
no way.
Okay.
No way. Mm. He'd probably say yes anyway.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah. there you go. I hope you've enjoyed listening to the Auto Alex podcast. We've obviously been rambling on for a while. And then Mr. Richard Hammond of TV fame, Top Gear and the Grand Tour closed us out, which was really, really cool. So to Richard, to the Drive Tribe guys, thank you very much for your time. It's been really awesome. And everyone listening to the podcast, thanks for all of your reviews and all the love. Please keep it coming. Please keep on writing in and emailing at
podcast@autoalexcars.com.
And also, don't forget to message Rory on Instagram telling me he's an idiot for not knowing the Renault Spider.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks for that.
All right. Okay. We will be back again next week for the UK's most popular automotive car podcast.
Yes.
Yeah. That's us. Yeah.
Maybe Taylor might actually turn up to that one.
If he can be bothered. But yeah, we're going to get guests. I'm going to keep on hounding Chris Harris. See if we can get him on.
Yeah.
And what's his face? Ben Collins, Stig.
Yeah. Who else do we want on?
Let us know who you want us to get on.
I want Matt Armstrong on.
Do you?
Yeah, I find what he's done fascinating, to be honest.
Yeah, well, he's actually very successful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like the way that he's gone around it and everything like that.
Yeah.
Really.
All right. We'll get him on. He's actually already said yes.
Has he?
Yeah, before the podcast actually went out or we started it.
Oh, okay.
He's like, all right, mate, I'll be on there as well.
Well, let's get it on then.
All right, let's get it on. And with that, you guys also get it on. Actually, no, most of the people are in a lorry by themselves.
Oh, don't.
No, do you.
They might do.
Just close the curtains. You do you.
Yeah.
And with that, have a wonderful
rest of your week.
Yeah, there we go.
There we go.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye. Bye.